9 o'clock, 9:01 here on the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. A little 3 to 7 Saturday action for you guys here on the Fanatic. So it'll be good to talk to you tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully it's not as windy. You know, I can't stand the cold. It's windy. If it's windy for me like this, it's cold. Not to Tyler, though. Tyler's like, nah, I'm good. It's not cold. Man up.
It's all a mirage. I hate the winter.
It's all a mirage.
I hate the winter. I just got to put it all in your head.
It is. It's cold.
I know it's cold, but I just choose to live in a fantasy world where it's not cold. And that's why I wear the shorts.
Okay. All right, man. I appreciate that. I can't do it. Not yet. Not just yet. 610-632-0975. The Sidney Jones stuff. We'll still get to some of the draft conversation we were having as well. And we'll do that next with Ramin in West Philly. My man, Mean. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Javon? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, man? Your family all good? Everybody's well?
Yeah, they good. That's how I was just about to ask you that. How's yours?
Yeah, everybody's doing all right, man. The kids, they're just bored.
Right. That's how my son is. Right. But
they don't know how good they have it, though.
Yeah, right. Right now.
We used to wish for that, right? Like, oh, man, I wish something happened. We could stay home for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, not like that.
Not like this, though.
Yeah, they out for the whole year now.
It's crazy. Crazy.
And they don't go back until September.
Yeah, man.
But here's my thing about the draft, right?
Yep.
When I look at Atlanta back then, Atlanta had Roddy White and they had another receiver, right? But they knew they needed another playmaker, so they GM was aggressive and moved up and got Julio Jones.
Was it Brian Finneran at that time with Roddy White?
I think it was. Right? But they moved up and went and got Julio Jones in the draft and went and got Julio Jones to make these offense more explosive. Now, I'm looking at us like that, right? Whereas they keep saying Jefferson, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't really want Jefferson because they keep saying this guy is in the slot. He's a slot guy. He never played the outside and not like that. Now, our thing is, listen, and we got 8 picks, right? Out of the 8 picks, I look at it like we need 3 impact players. We don't need all them picks. Like, so I'm saying we move up, right? We move up to get the top 2 receivers, either Judy or Lamb, right? Because I don't want us to be in a situation where, like we was in the early years of the Andy Reid, like we just was receivers away.
Right.
1 receiver away from really winning it all. Like, imagine if we had T.O. during our first or second NFC championship games, right? We probably would have been in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And we probably would have been a dynasty instead of New England and all that. So my thing is, listen, I want us to move up in the draft, like, and listen, do whatever we got to do. Because if we take Jefferson, I think he's just another guy. I don't think he's going to come out to be like a superstar and not like that. But with Lamb and Judy,
yep,
it's shown that them guys the real deal. What's your intake on that?
Well, first of all, do you have a preference between Lamb or Judy?
I like either one. It's 1A. With me, it's 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
I like receivers. Like, you know what? I'm so infatuated with T.O. Whereas though them receivers who can go deep and who can catch like a 3-yard pass, physical enough to take the hits, you know what I'm saying, and run after the catch. I like yak yardage receivers, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So even one, I've been looking at, you know, I got number time now, so I've been looking at, you know, which, like, what's the difference, right? And both of them guys, I like Lamb a little, Lamb might edge him a little bit because I seen Lamb get hit. His physicality is a little bit more stronger than Judy's, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I guess when you look at Judy, you look at he can run every route on the route tree. He seems like he's smoother with the ball, and he can get those, of course, yards after the catch that you're talking about. But they can't go wrong with either one of them. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so, but I'm like this. Like, let's not try to just get another, oh, he's fast. No, Let's get the best receiver, right? Because it's there for the taking. Let's get the best receiver, right? And let's win. And let's win some games. I think with if you add even one of them guys with our two tight ends, and you got Deshaun Jackson, and I don't know if Alshon going to be here, but if you got them type guys, Ward and all them guys, and with our running back, I think we got a chance.
Well, I would like, and me, thanks for the call, man. Glad you and the family are good, man. Stay safe. We'll talk to you. And by the way, Michael Jenkins, was the second number two wide receiver behind Roddy White at that time. I don't know why I thought Brian Finneran was there forever. That's why I said Brian Finneran. But I forgot about Michael Jenkins, actually, to be honest with you. Totally forgot about him. Don't just stop there. Let's say you do move up and you get Judy or Lamb and you are successful in landing one of those two. You're going to have to give up one of your other picks, but don't stop there. If of all of these wide receivers, and we saw a NFL.com mock draft, and with that mock draft, they had 8 wide receivers going in the first round. 8 in the first round. 3 before the Eagles taking Jefferson at 21. Then you had Higgins at 22, Chenault at 25. Who was it? Brandon Ayuk at 31, and it was another one at 32. I can't remember who we said it was, but that doesn't matter. 8 wide receivers, but you still have some talent there on the back end where, guess what? Go get another one. So when you're talking about being aggressive, get another one. Don't stop there. Keep it moving. Don't stop there. Add another, because you don't know who J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And quite frankly, listen, I like what Greg Ward did, and I want to give him another opportunity. But if I can improve my wide receiver group by adding 2 wide receivers in this one, you assume that Deshaun is going to be healthy to start. He'll be healthy to start. Let's just say that. How many games will he play? We don't know. We have no idea. But he's healthy to start. Greg Ward, healthy to start. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, healthy to start, but what are you getting production-wise? Alshon Jeffrey on the team, but on the PUP list. You're likely going to need 2. You're likely going to need 2. So don't stop there. If you're going to be aggressive like you want, go up there and get Judy or Lamb. Ruggs is nice, but Judy or Lamb is it. Jefferson at 21, I will take it. If you had to fall back a little bit and you take one of the other receivers, if you pick up an extra pick somewhere in that 26 range, well, Miami has 3 first-round picks, go for it. If all the other guys are going and you could not move up, get that extra pick, another wide receiver between somewhere that 2-3-4 range as well. 610-632-0975. Ty, where are you? On this, moving up, getting one of those 2.
Yeah, I'm
not
only
necessarily for Ruggs, but Lamb and Judy. Where are you?
I'm only moving up for the 2.
For the 2.
And yeah. When it comes down to it, I think it's fair to say that they're 1 and 1A or 1A and 1B, whatever you want to call them. I look at it a little bit differently, and I look at who can make the immediate impact right away. And I think CeeDee Lamb's a really nice player, and he's going to be really good in the league. Jerry Jeudy is the best receiver, in my opinion, since probably Julio Jones.
Ooh.
Coming out of the draft.
Ooh, that's saying something.
Not to take anything away from guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham, who all had really great college careers. I say that in terms of I believe that Jeudy is the most NFL-ready since Julio. You know what? Actually, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
I think he's probably the most NFL-ready since Amari Cooper. Go a little bit more recent.
Because Cooper was definitely NFL ready from what you saw when he was at Alabama.
Right, which makes me believe that he
By
is...
By the way, they're all coming from Alabama.
Well, that's the thing. And that's my look.
They all go there.
I don't understand. I was reading something today that said that people are viewing Tua as a product of the Alabama system, which doesn't make any sense. If you're going to take a look at all of these receivers who come out and are productive from Alabama, does the quarterback make the receiver, or does the receiver make the quarterback?
Mm.
Like, I look at Tua and I look at an NFL-ready quarterback if he's healthy. Much like I look at Judy and say he's an NFL-ready receiver day one.
Yeah, they just have talent.
Right, they play off each other.
Everyone is pretty much ready.
So I don't understand anybody that says they don't think Tua is an NFL quarterback. They think he's product of the system. It doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, well, let me ask you. Let me throw a couple of them. If he has something to do, go ahead. But I just wanted to.
I was looking up Yak stats for you.
Yeah.
I was going to try to find. Because if I remember correctly, Justin Jefferson's Yak was pretty high. You know, and Ramin talked about how he doesn't like Jefferson because he's a slot guy, and then talked about how he likes guys that make plays after the catch.
Yep.
Well, Justin Jefferson is a guy that can make the play after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so are Lamb and Judy, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
The guy that's not going to be the make the play after the catch guy, I mean, unless he's burning down the field, is Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, he's going to catch what he catches down the field.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong. By the way, the Justin Jefferson thing with him being in the slot that Ramin brought up, and we do have a tweet from Ramin on Twitter, and we'll get to him, Suave Capo, on Twitter. Yes, Justin Jefferson is a slot receiver in theory of what you call him, but he can do other stuff, right? Is there a problem in having DeSean Jackson on the outside, Justin Jefferson in the slot, and somehow, some way, they have something that's good on the opposite side as well? What's wrong with that? Now, you don't want to say you drafted a slot receiver in the first round, but my goodness. Did you watch LSU? Tyler's talking about the quarterback and the wide receiver and playing off of each other and all of that. Number one, it's the SEC. Number two, he's played 3 years. He's been productive. His numbers were amazing. Did you see the championship game? Did you watch the season with those players? Did you watch him? Phenomenal. Why does that not translate to the NFL, even as a slot guy? And by the way, as good as Greg Ward is, you mean to tell me you don't want to upgrade Greg Ward if you have a better version of someone else at the slot? Have you seen? These offenses are three wide receiver sets, and you have two tight ends.
I just don't understand the knock on slot receivers. Because
he will eat up in this league. What is wrong with it?
If you're going to get a guy who is productive in the slot, just because it's the slot and people view the slot as your third receiver, if he's productive in the slot and makes guys and forces guys to cover him, walk away from Ertz, walk away from Goddard, walk away from whomever you end up putting on the outside. Why is that a bad thing?
Have you seen Cooper Kupp? Have you seen that offense?
Edelman did it for years.
Have you seen
Welker
Edelman?
Did it for years.
Exactly. Have you seen Cole Beasley do it for a long stretch with the Dallas Cowboys? We've seen plenty of wide receivers do it. I understand you might not want to take him as a number one. Listen, we said we want wide receivers and we want speed. He has good speed. He does. Man, I like Justin Jefferson. Ty, you like Justin Jefferson?
Very much so.
Okay. I mean, and we'll get to some of the other guys as well. Here's one real fast before we get to the phones. 610-632-0975. Suave Capo on Twitter asks us, what do you think they would have to give up aside from picks to move up for Lamb or Judy?
I don't know if it's beside picks. I don't think there's not a lot of player trading in the NFL.
Like no.
The Hopkins trade was kind of wild.
Yes.
Or I should say it's not player. You don't do player for player.
Right. It's more of the Stephon Diggs with a bunch of picks.
Right. I don't know if it's anything short of 21, a third, and next year's first.
Uh-huh.
I'm not willing to give that up.
No. Or, you know, you try to get something a little smaller for next year, like another two or something. By the way, Brandon Cooks and what they gave up for Brandon, this is exactly what we talked about when those rumors started with Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks yesterday traded. Brandon Cooks yesterday traded to the Houston Texans. Listen, I like Brandon Brooks just like the next man. All right? I like him just like the next man. But Brandon Brooks for a fourth-round pick and exchange for this year's second-round pick to the Houston Texans. I think this year is 57 or 53. The Eagles have 53. The Rams have 57. That's what they traded. Okay? I like him. I don't like him that much. when we spoke about this, what would you be willing to give up? That was just flat out too much. We're not giving up a second round pick for Brandon Cooks with the money that he has left, the injury history that he has. I couldn't do that. And I'm sure you guys talked about it last night, Ty, with Brandon Cooks. He can flat out get by a defense. He can get past the defense. But my goodness, so you just basically, you're right, DeAndre Hopkins in the fourth round pick for Brandon Cooks and David Johnson.
Not good.
No. I like Brandon Cooks again, just like anybody else. But I don't like him as much as Bill O'Brien does. And you have to be upset as a Penn Stater that he keeps making these weird decisions.
Man, I used to
have his back, too.
I said yesterday with Joe, thanks for everything you did at Penn State. You really helped put the team back on the map. Can you stop being dumb? This is, you don't even make these trades in video games.
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't know what he's doing. 6-1, he doesn't know what he's doing. 610-632-0975. Let's take it back to the phones. Let's check in. Tyler Zuli here with us. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 10 o'clock. Cisco and Bluebell. What's going on, Cisco? You're on the Fanatic.
All right, Devon. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Friday night, man, hanging out with the people. You know, we're all good.
Hope you're staying healthy, brother.
Thank you so much. You as well.
Thank you. You know what? Here in Philly, we are underestimating Justin Jefferson. You know he runs faster than two of the top three receivers in this draft. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know Lamb is 4.45.
Right.
And Jude is 4.47. What do you think Jefferson is?
Jefferson was he was higher than him, wasn't he?
No, he was 4.43.
4.43, okay.
Yes, he was, yes. And I seen Jefferson. You know what I did this year? Because I know the Eagles need receivers. I just studied receivers all during the college year. And Jefferson is an acrobat. Not only had the speed, but I will tell you, the year before last, he was playing outside.
Mm-hmm.
They put him on the inside this past year. He could go either way. And I think Jefferson is a better receiver than Ruggs. Ruggs is speed. He has no shiftiness, doesn't make difficult catches. But Jefferson makes difficult catches. I mean, when someone's on him, he still catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of Jefferson. I'd take him in a minute.
No, I'm not afraid of him either.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. And then I come back in the second round, move up in the second round if I have to, and I'm grabbing the guy from Penn State, Hamler.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Because I like his speed, and I like the fact that he can catch the ball. There's one receiver in this draft everybody keeps bringing up. His name is Rager.
Yep, from Kansas TCU. State.
You know what he does?
I mean, TCU, sorry.
TCU, yes. You know what he does that I don't like? He drops the ball. That was his forte. You just look him up. He drops the ball. I've seen him in two games, and I see him drop the ball in those two games.
In those two games. But overall, yes. he's a pretty reliable receiver. He's also tough. Tough as ever.
Read his scouting report.
Okay.
He does drop the ball.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So that's what I've seen. And then I read a scouting report that says the same thing as I've seen.
All right. Well, listen, Cisco.
That's all I can tell you.
Well, two receivers. We agree on that.
Yes, sir.
We agree on that. Have a good one. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Ty, right away, you start shaking your head. You didn't like the drops for...
It's not that it's drops. Rager saw, of the passes that Rager saw last year, only 61% of them were considered catchable balls.
And he was
bad quarterback
play. A young quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the guy can play.
Absolutely.
I don't take him over Jefferson.
And that's
I mean, Jefferson's better, but.
No, we're talking about if you get, and that's why he said trade up for him in the second round. He might be gone in the first round, late first, and you might not have an opportunity to snatch him up in the second at all. Rager only saw 61% of the catchable balls last season, according to Tyler's research. 610-632-0975. Ramid also had another question. We'll get to that one after Steve in the Northeast. Next on the Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening, man? Y'all good?
Yeah, man. Just wanted to get a call in before I hit the hay.
I appreciate it.
First off, just wanted to note real quick with the last caller. The biggest thing tied to Hamler's name is his drops. So
yep.
Not sure what he was talking about there. And secondly, Mims ran a 4.38.
Okay.
So there's that. Anyway, I was big on Jefferson. I'm twisting my words. Jefferson for weeks. But recently, I kind of been falling off him. And I'm kind of drifting towards Mims.
Okay, because of what?
Well,
the speed
one,
that you just laid out for us.
Well, the speed combined with being 6'3" and 210 pounds is like
nothing wrong with that.
Astonishing. It reminds me of DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we passed on that last year, unfortunately.
Yeah, think about where you could be right now if you had him opposite Deshaun.
Oh my God! Man.
And still taking one in this draft because there are so many.
Yeah. But so my thing is, I want to, number one, somebody said the other day that Jefferson reminds them of Jordan Matthews, and I can't get it out of my head now because it's like, it's resonating with me.
That's just because he's a slot guy.
I think. Play on the outside also.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that people are looking at him. Like, yeah.
He seems like he's going to be a good player, but I don't know if he's going to be a superstar.
And of course you would like a superstar, but if you still get a good player and find some way to have someone opposite Deshaun, or at least some really good talent on the outside in general, because Jefferson will be here for a while, there's nothing wrong with it.
All right, let me just wanted to get it in before the call ends. My thing is, I want to trade up either for out of reach, honestly. I really don't see how we can get up to get in without giving up the house. So I want to trade up for Lamb or Ruggs, or if we can't get up, I'd like to fall back a little bit and grab Mims.
Mims and add an extra pick and make sure you secure a second wide receiver at some point.
Yes.
Got you, Steve. Thanks, man.
No problem. Get some rest, man.
Be safe. All right, you got it, man. All right, Ty, what do you think? Come on, resident.
I just think people are enamored with speed.
Nothing wrong with that.
No,
that's what the NFL is.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think that if you're looking for the complete receiver, you don't have to necessarily go with the burner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I am under the impression that Judy is the best receiver in this draft. He's not the fastest guy in this draft. I think Jefferson might be number two, or might be number three. I think Lamb is number two. But I think Jefferson might be number three.
In terms of what?
In terms of all-around receiver.
All-around receiver.
Yeah, and I think, quite honestly, if he's healthy, I think it's Laviska Shenault at number four.
Yeah, but there's just too many questions with that one.
Probably.
Health-wise. I don't know, but we know that.
If you don't mind, I know we're up against it. I saw a question by Bucky Brooks.
Okay.
And he said, if you could take Tua with the trajectory of Andrew Luck, same years and injury history, would you take it? You say, of course, right.
Yeah.
I look at Laviska Shenault the same way. Would you take it? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I could see that. And then there are so many. Listen, he's still, as much as the injuries have now followed him during this process, he's still likely going to be a first-round pick, right? So someone's going to get a good player. They just have to keep him healthy as much as they possibly can for their franchise. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Will Smith comments on Twitter. We also got some on the text board. We'll get to Rameed. He had a second question with the NFL question, an NBA Sixers question that he wanted to ask us, Tyler, so we'll get to that as well. On the other side, 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens with you tonight on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
9:30, 97.5, The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. I'll be with you tomorrow at 3 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday afternoon here on The Fanatic. So hopefully you guys and gals can tune in, help you out. Once again, you help me out during this time that we're all going to be sharing together another four-hour run for us tomorrow here on The Fanatic, starting at 3 p.m. Tomorrow afternoon. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Ramid's second question, tell you about the health heroes during the global pandemic. Many of us are fortunate enough to stay home and out of harm's way. However, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community a safer place day in and day out. They are doctors, nurses, educators, custodians. They are our health heroes. We don't forget about the police officers either. Is there a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize? Go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Every health hero we highlight will receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card. This is all being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers. Do whatever it takes to keep you and your family comfortable at home. Go to nopaybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. So once again, that is, of course, our health hero. Hopefully you're able to simply go to our website at 975thefanatic.com and nominate your health hero. All right? All right. 610-632-0975. A quick pivot back to basketball. As Ramid asks the question, also, did you read anything into the Buddy Hield thing? I think him for Horford and a pick is a good deal for both squads. Ramid, Buddy Hield's been making noise in Sacramento for the past couple of seasons. He finally got his contract. He called out the Kings. Listen, a lot of people want to get out of Sacramento. I can't ignore what he did on the floor. Shooting numbers, fantastic. My question, as someone who was able to put up the numbers, the stats that he was able to put up this season for the Sacramento Kings, where he is shooting, number one, giving you 20 points tonight, 5 boards, 3 assists. That's pretty good. Shooting 39.5% from deep, 43% from the field overall, 85% from the free throw line. Why is he coming off the bench? Why is he constantly bickering with that front office? What is the problem there? And I know Vlade Divac is not the greatest general manager. The coaching changes that they've had. Now Luke Walton, who's actually done a decent job, to be perfectly honest. He's done an all right job with them 28-36 and fighting for that playoff spot in the Western Conference on the back end. Why is it that Buddy Hield's name is, as a shooter, especially a young team like that? And I know Bogdan Bogdanovich wants his money, and you might have to make a decision because you just gave Buddy Hield 80+ million. Bogdan is probably worth 60 to 70 million. You can't have 150 million and two your shooting guard position. You can't. But Ramid, why is this always happening? Now, that's their problem at the end of the day. It might be different if he was with the 76ers. I agree with you. Am I buying anything into it? I just find it hard to believe that they would trade Hield for Horford. Now, if they do it because they're getting Horford back, they're getting a valuable veteran. Marvin Bagley is just okay so far. Their center position is not anything to really write home about. Rashawn Holmes is their starter. Would you want Holmes or Horford starting? Maybe they want the athletic guy in Holmes, but Horford is more steady to be with those young players. That gives Bogdanovich the room to now step into the starting lineup. Now you're looking at Fox, Bogdanovich, Barnes, Horford, and Bagley at this point. Not bad. Right? Not bad. Giles coming off the bench. Alex Len, Corey Joseph. Trevor Reason moved on. He's traded. Bazemore also traded. Dwayne Dedman out of there as well. I really don't buy anything into it. Buddy Hill gets on Instagram and says stuff. And I actually think Ramid, he liked, I think that was something in season as well. And it just resurfaced once again where he liked something else. He would certainly be an added addition with his outside shooting on the team. He doesn't do much else. Yes, he gives you 5 rebounds and a couple assists. But he's there to score. So if they were able to pull that one off, that's a lot of money. But it is less than what Horford has on the books for you. So I would be interested. The question would be now, what are you doing with Josh Richardson if you do that?
And I look at players like Buddy Hield, and it kind of reminds me of the trade that just happened with Brandon Cooks you just talked about. Why are talented players, like you mentioned, coming off the bench or always at arm's length with their ownership and management? Why has Brandon Cooks been traded 3 times in 5 seasons?
That is something, isn't it?
There's something behind it.
And he's talented.
Right. So there's got to be something going on with these players.
He had good numbers in 2018. Very good numbers when they went to the Super Bowl.
Right. So there's got to be something behind these players that is not worthwhile going after.
Yeah. Now, that being said, would you Horford for Buddy Hield?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, you would. New start. You're probably going to have, in our opinion, or at least you should have a new coach. So you're looking at a new coach. Even though with what Brett Brown likes to do, Buddy Hield would fit within the defense pace and space. Not the defense part, the pacing, while he can run with Simmons and Embiid and Harris and fill that lane, and during the fast break, of course, find those spots behind the perimeter.
Well, my wonder is, it can't be the one-for-one straight up. That's not a good deal for Sacramento. Well, giving up the 22nd pick to go along with it? Because I'd imagine that's what it is, right? Torford and 22 for Hield.
Why is it not straight up? Because one is younger and the other one's older?
I think so.
Plus the money?
Yeah, I think so. I know that Hield's on a big-time deal, but yeah, is Horford's money more?
Kicks in. Annually, I don't know if it's 5 for Hield. It might just be 4. Let me take a look. As a matter of fact, you get up Horford's, I'll do Buddy Hield's deal right now. But overall, I mean, they both have new contracts. They're both going to be on something long term. And it's just what it is, right? It's just what it is. So he signed an extension, a 4-year extension, according to NBA.com, for 106. Could pay him up to 106. I think when he signed it, it was 86. It was 86, but it could value out to 106 total 4 years. So he gets it off of the extension off of his rookie deal. What do you have?
So Horford is 4 for 109 with 97 guaranteed.
Right. So it's similar. Very, very similar. And as I look at whatever it is.
I don't think anybody knows what the name of that is.
We know where to go to find these numbers. His new deal, Buddy Hield, the contract. This is all wrong. Yeah. Okay, here it is. Upcoming contract extension. 2021, 24, 21, 22, 22, 22, 23, 20. The final year of the deal, 18.5. So it's front loaded. 24, 22, 20, and 18. Pretty much what Al Horford has. A younger player. By the way, he's not that. He's 26.
I mean, he's 7 years younger.
Yeah, he is 7 years.
It's a lot.
But and he serves a purpose for this team. So do I buy anything into it? No. Would I look into it, Ramid? Would I try to see with that one? Yeah, I would. I would. Elbow Shaferi, Brian, jumps in. You wouldn't think it would have to be Richardson and Horford for Hield plus bad contract. Harrison Barnes, yuck. Maybe. I don't want that Harrison Barnes deal.
I don't know if I want that trade.
Get that away from me. Josh Richardson has like 2 years left on his deal. 1 year left on his deal. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that one. Give me Kent Bazemore.
I don't know if this is realistic.
I don't know. I don't know what they would do, but, you know, I don't know. 610-632-0975. So, I think we would all like Buddy Hield. Is what else will come with it? By the way, Ramid, Elbow Shaferi once again said, he sent me actually because we left out the soccer part when we were talking earlier in general about the leagues and, you know, the four sports, which one would you teach to someone who's a casual sports fan? He says, you know, we left out the soccer part.
I mentioned no disrespect to soccer. We're just going with the big four.
Right. And he sent me a video with Messi at his peak that's about 12 minutes long. And he says, check it out.
It's the greatest player of all time.
Yeah. He said, check it out. And I will, because I will have 12 minutes at some point to just flat out watch the video. He says it's like watching Michael Jordan 93.
Yeah. Okay. He's that good.
All right. I'll check it out. 610-632-0975. Now, on the other side, we will run the Will Smith movies. We'll talk about everything as we close out the show with the final segment that we discussed tonight. And again, get these tweets in here that people were kind enough to share with us throughout the evening. So 610-632-0975. If you want to try to jump in with us before we get out of here, feel free. We're with you until 10 o'clock. I'm so used to midnight here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
.97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli doing a great job producing the show as always. We thank him for his great work tonight. We thank you on the phones and on Twitter as well. Really appreciate you jumping in on your Friday night and choosing to spend some time with us here on The Fanatic. Let me tell you, with some of these, let's get to some of these Will Smith movies that people have put out there when we asked for the best Will Smith movies. He's had a great run. He's, what, 51? So you know he's got plenty left in him at this point. And we got a text on the text board from Rich that says, Will Smith best movie is Pursuit of Happiness. All right. At Rune, this is John Rooney, 3113. It's easily Ali. He should have won an Oscar.
Overlooked Ali. Good movie.
My criticism of him has been that he hasn't expanded, quote unquote, his roles as he gets older, like Denzel and Hanks did to perfection. But he is playing Serena and Venus's father in a movie called King Richard. I did hear about this, that has Oscar buzz. So right now it's on hold, but I did hear that he would be playing Richard Williams in a movie about the sisters, of course. And he pointed out when we were trying to figure out the movie that he passed up, he did say he passed up The Matrix for Wild Wild West. Not a good choice. Alfie from Abington, Mr. Fizz, ESQ. I'm a Bad Boys guy too, but Pursuit of Happiness took my heart and folded it. For the positive and negative scenes, I sobbed, fellas, sobbed. Talking wet face, red eyes, runny nose, weeps. It's his best work.
I cried watching that movie. There's probably only about three movies in my life I've cried watching.
Okay.
That was one of them.
I've never seen it.
Really?
I've never seen it.
I think it,
and I don't know why I've never seen it.
I think it might tug on your heartstrings as a dad.
Okay.
You know, because it's not totally centered around the kid, but it is obviously, he's a main part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a dad, it might get you.
Okay. Anthony M. Schmall. Wild Wild West. Pitiful majority of Will Smith movies are bad.
I know Wild Wild West isn't good.
He said, I'm sorry, unpopular opinion, but dead true.
I know it's not a good movie. I just think it's fun.
Yeah,
I know.
That's what you said. You said it wasn't a good movie. You just enjoyed it for whatever reason. Sometimes you can like bad movies. That's okay. And then Pat jumped in, Pat Egan, and sends a video from Kevin Smith. Sends a video from Kevin Smith explaining the whole Wild Wild West thing. And he says that, watch that and it will pay off with the backstory on Wild Wild West. That's Pat Egan sends us a video with Kevin Smith speaking about Wild Wild West, and I have not had a chance to see it. I don't know how long it is. It is 10 minutes, so who knows at what point where it is with the Will Smith part, but we'll get there. I'll check it out because I am curious now to see what the backstory is.
You got 22 minutes of video to watch now.
I have 22 minutes. That will take up some time. What am I going to do with the rest? I don't know. what else do we have for the movies? And that's pretty much it with the movies. So just quickly, let's run through some before we get to Dennis on the phones. Number one, we started this because of Enemy of the State, which is a very good movie that not a lot of people talk about. It's a very, very good movie. Budget was $90 million. Box office, $250.6 million, Ty. $250.
It's good money.
Underrated movie. Underrated movie. So, you know what? No, let's go to Dennis first because we don't want to take one of his. But Bad Boys was ours, and we just got a few Pursuit of Happiness and Ali as well. Dennis and Ben Salem. What's up, Dan?
Not much, brother. You wouldn't have stolen mine. Enemy of the State, I think, might be his best movie. But his best
role... Best movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but his best role was 6 Degrees of Separation.
All right, and for people who don't remember that, that was like his third movie. That was very early.
Yeah. Sidney Poitier's son, I believe he was supposed to be
yep.
in that movie. You know, because, I mean, it's the Fresh Prince. Nobody really. And, man, he killed it in that role.
Yep.
He did some stuff.
Yeah, I know.
The Sidney Jones bit you guys were playing earlier, I liked what he said, but I kind of hated what I was hearing at certain points, too. I liked that he's got this fire and he's going to show us something this year. I like that he's saying that.
Did you believe it? Because we had a caller earlier.
He believes it.
Tim said he didn't believe. He believed that he was just saying it because it sounded good.
Yeah, no, I think he believes that he's got something more in him. But I also heard him saying about he's been talking to somebody who's helping him, you know, with the first quarter as important as the fourth quarter. And yeah, I don't like hearing that, though. Professional athlete who's been playing this game as long as he has, I mean, as a kid, high school, college, and 4 years in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just now realizing you got to give it all from down one to the final buzzer, you know, that I don't like to hear that. That scares me.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
That's something that, because I, like Tyler was saying earlier, I was a big fan of getting him in the second round. Before the injury, I think they were talking about him as a top 10 pick. So to get a cat like that in the second round is a beautiful thing.
That's why I agree with you guys.
But, man, yeah, learning that, you know, the fourth quarter is as important as the first quarter. What? Excuse me? Huh? What? No, that's something you learn in, like, high school at the latest.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We do need to get another corner later in the draft and hope. Another concern, I don't know if anybody's mentioned it tonight. I was away from the radio too much. As a whole, Philadelphia medical staff, be it the Sixers, the Eagles, the Phillies, I remember a time when, you know, a guy gets a career-ending injury, Deuce Staley, Liz Frank.
Yeah.
And he's back next year. Wait, what? Like, we used to be top-notch, but the last few years, guys get stingers and miss entire seasons. Joe can't stay healthy.
Yeah,
it's so many little things here and there. It's like these guys shouldn't be down this long.
I know. Crevon LeBlanc, he was down for a long time. And Jalen Mills, we thought Jalen Mills was coming back sooner than he eventually did. Ronald Darby, I just think Ronald Darby just stays hurt, so I can't blame that.
He hasn't been the same since he got here.
Yeah, and once have a receiver.
Jones, you know the Achilles is the Achilles.
It is.
They don't always come back the same, but this was not at all what we expected to see.
And he's young. So you were like, okay, if anybody can recover, he's young, he can recover, right? So
kid coming out of college should be able to.
Right. So. And then talk to you soon, man. Have a good night.
Have a good weekend.
You too, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, quickly, just give you one more on the text board. We had 7 pounds. Another one I did not see.
Haven't seen it either.
Yep. I guess we have to catch up on some Will Smith movies.
Yeah. We got some time on our hands.
We do have some time on our hands. Some obviously some other big ones. We know we mentioned Bad Boys, the whole franchise with that one. A great one. Independence Day. Fantastic movie.
Yep.
Men in Black, the franchise there. I'm a Men in Black fan, at least one and two. After that, I was, you know, out.
Yeah, I'm not so much of a Men in Black fan.
And I didn't like the last one. I saw the last one with Tessa Thompson and what's my man's name from
Chris Hemsworth. They have a nice connection in the Thor movie.
Yeah,
not so much in that movie.
Not in that one. All right, I mean it was like whatever. This plus is Men in Black. Legend of Bagger Vance. A lot of people did not like that one. Ride or Die. I don't remember. Oh, he's an executive producer on that one. iRobot. Big okay. one. Shark Tale is a voice. Hitch, a favorite for a lot of people. You know,
kind just, of rom-com-ish.
You know, just comedy chops again, right? And Kevin James was hilarious. And Eva Mendes was amazing in there. She's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yep. I Am Legend, Hancock, 7 pounds. Men in Black 3. Focus was all right. I didn't mind Focus because Margot Robbie was in that one as well. They did a nice job with that one. Suicide Squad, did not like it. Concussion, did not see it. Bright, saw it. It was actually all right. Gemini Man, did not want to see that one as well. Spies in Disguise, I will watch that one. Everybody have a great night. Tyler, thanks so much, man. I'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Tyler Zuli will be on the air 12 o'clock on Sunday. So you guys have a great night. And thanks for listening all week. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.